The passage for today is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. I'll give you a chance to find that in your Bible or on your device. It will also be up on the screen. Romans 12, 1 to 8. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently, for it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
Well, thanks, Di, and good morning and welcome to church. My name is Tim. I am the Director of Ministry here at Christchurch, which means I oversee serving, which is, as you'll see in a moment, quite a big thing to oversee here at Christchurch. But a great church serves. Well, I want to be honest with you. It's a little bit difficult to be talking about serving at the moment. Usually at the beginning of the year, people have had a bit of a rest. We're feeling refreshed, we're feeling enthused for a new year, we're gearing up for it, we're keen to serve, we're keen to get on board. But this year is a little different, isn't it? This year I feel many people are more thinking about survival than service. How am I going to survive another Zoom meeting? How am I going to survive homeschooling again? How am I going to survive social isolation or the uncertainty of the future? But in this season where we're thinking about survival, I actually want us to think about serving as survival. Why? Well, we heard in this passage that we've just had read from Romans 12 that Paul refers to the church as a body. Elsewhere in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 26, he talks about this body and he says, if one part of the body suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices in it. And so friends, as the body of Christ in this difficult season, we are in it together, working together as one body. And when you think about it, Christchurch is quite a big body. This is Christchurch's skeleton. It's quite a large body of people. There are over 500 serving roles here at church. And the thing about serving knits us together. It helps us help each other through these difficult times. And in this difficult season, serving may look a little different. You know, I never thought that I would come to Christchurch and I'd be a tele-evangelist. I had to go get a tan, whiten my teeth. There'll be a code come up, you can make a love gift later on. I never thought that would be the case, but things look different. I was joking about the love gift, by the way. Things look different in this season, and so will serving. Different people may need to step up and serve in different ways. We may be pushed outside of our comfort zones. We may be doing things like live streaming, which we'd probably never done if it wasn't for this. But we are a body. And in this every member ministry, the body comes together to serve one another within our own healthy capacities to be able to love, care, and support and serve the whole body. So today, as we think about a great church that serves, we're going to think under these three headings. We're going to think about why we serve, how we serve, and where we serve. Why we serve, how we serve, and where we serve. So let's begin by looking at why we serve. And friends, we serve, as Paul says, we serve because we have been served by a great and loving God. It's there in verse 1. Have a look at verse 1 in your Bibles. It'll be on the screen. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Now, Paul's logic here, you can see, is that we should offer our bodies as living sacrifices because God has lavished us with his mercy through Jesus' death in our place. Jesus says himself in Mark 10:45, he says, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus came to serve by saving us. Jesus came to serve by saving us. And in Ephesians 2 verse 10, God makes it clear that this was always the plan because God had prepared good works for us to do. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, we have been saved to serve. We have been saved to serve. This is our true and proper worship. Now, being saved to serve, what does this mean? Well, I want to draw out two implications for us to think about in this first point. The first implication is that because we've been saved to serve, it actually changes our motivation when we come to serving. We get to serve out of gratitude rather than guilt. We get to serve joyfully rather than out of joyless duty. And Tim Chester, he captures this idea well in this quote on the screen. He says, "Jesus serves as the Son. He went to the cross for the joy set before him," Hebrews 12 verse 2. So if you feel like a slave of a distant God who demands your obedience, then your service will always feel like hard work and be characterized by joyless duty. But if you feel like a child of God who has poured out his love on you, then your service will be willing, full, and joyous. You will delight to please your Father rather than feeling obligated to obey your Master. Friends, saved people serve out of gratitude rather than guilt. Well, the second implication from being saved to serve is that serving isn't limited just to the paid staff here at church. Serving isn't limited to the paid staff. Do you see in verse 1? Have a look at verse 1. Look right at the beginning where Paul talks about brothers and sisters. This is a very general term, brothers and sisters. He's talking about not just the paid staff. He's talking about all of us. All of us. Every Christian. Every Christian. And this idea of every member ministry is captured in that classic 90s Christian song. Do you guys know the song that I'm talking about? Anyone? The Servant King. It's like a half volley outside off stump. It's the Servant King. Now, I'm not as brave as Nigel, and I don't have the gift of singing, so we're not going to sing it. But here it is. This is our God, the Servant King. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the Servant King. So let us learn how to serve, and in our lives enthrone him, each other's needs to prefer, for it is Christ we are serving. Friends, as people who are saved to serve, it's not just the paid staff who serve, it's all of us together. Well, we need to then ask, how do we serve? What does it look like here at Christ Church St. Ives? Well, this passage, it draws out 2 points for how we're to serve. And those 2 points are that we're to serve humbly together as part of a team. Humbly together as part of a team. Now let's dive into humbly first. We see that in verse 3. Have a look at verse 3 in your Bibles with me. Verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to you. Now, Paul, in many of his letters, makes a big deal about Christians being humble, particularly when it comes to serving. Now, have you ever stopped and pondered why that is? Well, I think it's because a lack of humility can shatter someone's service. We've seen it played out recently. A lack of humility can potentially shatter churches and movements. Now, we need humility. We need humility when our ministry is going well. You know, if you're leading a growth group or leading a kids' church group, or if you are pastorally caring for people and it's going really well, we need humility. Because there's a trap. There's a trap of us thinking that actually, because it's going well, it's all to do with us. It's coming from us. But did you see in this verse that God actually gives us, He distributes to us our gifts? They're given to us, and we are to exercise them. So we need to remain humble, even when our ministry is going well. But secondly, we need to remain humble if our ministry is starting to struggle. I was in a church, and the church had a member on parish council who had been there for about 24 years. And in the 25th year of them being on parish council, the church had grown dramatically in size. And this member of parish council realized that the church had moved beyond their abilities to help and contribute. They actually, by being on parish council, were holding the church back. And so in humility, they stepped aside. They didn't hold on to the power. They stepped aside and let someone younger with more energy and ideas step into that role to help move the church forward. It's the same maybe when it comes to singing, you know, or leading in music or in other places where sometimes things have moved beyond your ability and we need the humility to step aside so that the church can continue to grow. So we need humility when our ministry is starting to struggle. Third, we need humility if we think that the service role is beneath us. Have you ever had that moment where someone's come to you and approached you and asked you to serve in a certain way, and then in your head, you've gone, I don't really want to do that. I actually want to serve in this really awesome, fun, up the front way. No, I don't want to do COVID cleaning. No, I don't think I can do kids. Have you had that moment where you probably don't say it out loud, but you think it in your heart? Well, friends, we need humility in these moments when we think that serving is beneath us. Because when you think about our God, did He not humble Himself and come down from the riches of heaven to be born in a manger, to be hung on a cross, humbly to save us? If our Lord and Savior can humble Himself to do something that was definitely beneath Him, we too can humble ourselves and do and serve in a way that we may think is beneath us. Well, fourthly, humility is needed to avoid over-serving and burning out. Now, this can be really subtle. You know, when we're in a serving role and we're just gritting our teeth and grinding through and thinking to ourselves, if I don't do this, no one else can or will. And it's in these moments we need humility, because we're headed on the path to burnout. If we keep going that way, where the passion's gone, where the drive isn't there, but we push on because we don't think that anyone else cares or wants to do it. Now, we need humility in these moments, because God is the one who will continue to grow His church, is He not? God's been doing a pretty good job for the last 2,000 years, and He's going to do a great job when we're with Him in heaven. He doesn't need us, but we have that privilege of joining him in it. And friends, this is really liberating. This is really liberating because it frees us from our need to overdo it. Because in ministry, in service, there's always more that we can do. But we need to rest secure in the fact that God is in control. And that takes humility. So humility is important when it comes to serving. Saved people serve humbly. Well, second, saved people serve as part of a team. Have a look with me at verses 4 and 5 in our passage. Romans 12, 4 and 5. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Now, Paul uses this idea of a body, he uses it 8 times to describe the church. And it's a beautiful picture. It picks up perfectly what we are as a church. We're this whole group of strangely, randomly interconnected parts that come together with different skills and abilities and passions and dreams and desires. Some of us look like Bob the Builder. But we work together as a body. We serve together. We don't serve alone. We need each other. You know, a hand, it's pretty useless just as a hand. It needs the arm. It needs the shoulder. It needs the nervous system to support it. Otherwise, it can't do anything. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, 21, he says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And so, friends, there's no such thing as solo serving in church. There's no such thing as just doing it by yourself. We are interconnected in everything that we do. And this is the beauty of teams, because teams are more powerful together than they are apart. You've probably heard the story of the oxen. There's an analogy that many people use about the power of teams. They say that 2 oxen actually can pull 3 times the weight of 1 oxen. Now, that doesn't make any sense if you think about it. You think you have 2 oxen pulling a ton each, then if 1 oxen can pull a ton, then 2 oxen should be able to pull 2 tons. But they can actually pull 3. And this is the power of being part of a team. And this is why I believe that Paul talks about the church as a body, as a part of an interconnected team working together. Because we're all on the same team. If one of us falls over, there's another one there to pick us up. And this happened last week on 2 occasions. Our faithful leader was out with COVID. He was down to preach and also do a wedding on the Saturday. One member in the team stepped up to do the wedding. Another member in the team stepped up to preach. Praise God for being part of a team that we can support one another and church can keep going. So save people, serve humbly as part of an interconnected team. Well, this brings us to our last question. Our last question, how do we know where we should serve? How do we know where you should serve? How do we know where I should serve? Well, the answer that Paul gives is saved people serve with the gifts that God has given them. Saved people serve with the gifts that God has given them. It's there in verses 6, 7, and 8. Have a look at verses 6, 7, and 8 with me. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Now, the unity of the body that Paul had just talked about doesn't mean that we just come together in this drab uniformity where everyone is exactly the same. No, God's created us all different. We all have our different gifts. We all have our different passions. We all have our different personalities. And the main point that I want to draw out from this passage is that God has gifted each one of us differently. differently to serve the body. In 1 Peter 4, verse 10 and 11, we read this. We read, each one should use whatever gift they have received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. You know, thankfully, God hasn't made the church all hands or all feet. He's made us all different. And this is really liberating. This is really liberating because not all of us need to be Nigel Fortescue. Now, can you just imagine a church full of Nigel Fortescues? It would be, I'm walking on some delicate land here. It would be a great church. It really would. But we need some people like Nikki as well and Di. We do. We need many different people to make up the church. So it can be liberating. But in a church like ours, friends, full of so many talented and gifted people, I can imagine that some of us may be thinking to ourselves, unless I'm at that level, I can't serve. You know, unless I can exegete the Bible like James Macbeth, or I can sing like Merrick, or I can pastorally care like Sally, or teach the kids like Lauren, or come up with cool family-focused names like Luke and C and Red Joyce, I can't serve. But friends, this is such a lie. It's such a lie. Because God has gifted us all differently. Can you imagine James Macbeth with his big hands trying to do origami with the primary school kids? You know, the delicate folds? It would be laughable. But he's gifted us all differently in many different ways. And our job isn't to try to be someone that we're not. Our job is to find the gift that God has given us and uncover that and use it to serve him faithfully. So I want to encourage you as we close. I want to encourage you to take a moment and write down what your passions are. Write down what your God-given gifts are. Write down what you've studied in, what you've trained in, what you work in. And then think about how you may be able to use those for the service of the gospel and the kingdom here at Christ Church St. Ives. Some of you are amazing business people. Wouldn't it be great if you could apply your business brain to church to help make it better? Some of you are great leaders or managers in your workplaces. Now, this may surprise you, but we need you here at church as we move to a more teams-based approach to serving. We need your wisdom, expertise, and best practice to help train up our team leaders and our division leaders so that we can be more effective here at church. Maybe you're someone who's great with words of affirmation. If that's you, I encourage you to encourage others. If you see your growth group leader doing a great job, let them know. If you see a kids' church leader doing a great job, let them know. We all need a bit of encouragement in this season. Some of you love people and care for them deeply, and you're an acts of service type of person. In this difficult season, friends, we need you. We need a lasagna. We need a hug. We need a phone call. We need that kind of encouragement. And friends, as we transition to these new services and new service times, we need people passionate and ready to serve. Many of you have already responded to the service email that's gone around, and I want to thank you for that. But I want us to all consider how we may be able to use our God-given gifts to serve the body within our available time and capacity. Saved people, serve. Save people, serve together. We serve humbly, and we serve with the gifts that our great God has given us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have saved us. Father, we thank you that you humbled yourself, came down, died on the cross to save us. Lord, we pray that our response would be one of service, not out of guilt, but out of gratitude. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.